Here are the stories we're covering this week in the Category5.tv newsroom. A true Linux smartphone will be available within the next year. It's already happening. People are porting Linux to the Nintendo Switch. A company which specializes in delivery robots plans to expand its operations from 2 campuses to 20 by 2019 with a fleet of 1,000. And a driver who moved into the passenger seat after putting his electric car into autopilot while at 40 miles per hour on a highway has been banned from driving. These stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? Just because Jeff is confused doesn't mean you have to be. Visit cat5.tv/dreamhost to sign up for unlimited web hosting for your website with unlimited email accounts, MySQL databases, the latest version of PHP, WordPress, and more, and even a free domain name registration. It's less than $6 per month, so sign up today. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
This is the Category5.tv newsroom, covering the week's top tech stories with a slight Linux bias.
I'm Sasha Rickman, and here are the top stories we're following this week. After raising more than $2 million last year to build a Linux-powered smartphone with a focus on privacy and open-source software, Purism hopes to deliver the first Librem 5 smartphones early next year. The phone is expected to ship with an NXP i.MX8M 64-bit ARM Cortex A53 processor and feature 3 gigabytes of RAM, 32 gigabytes storage, and a micro SD card slot, a headphone jack, USB Type-C port, and front and back cameras. But it will also have physical kill switches that disconnect the camera, mic, broadband, and Wi-Fi or Bluetooth for security and privacy purposes when you're not using those features. One of the biggest challenges is software. The phone won't ship with Android or iOS. Instead, it will run free and open source Linux-based software, which doesn't have a great track record with being phone friendly. But now Purism has announced that the Librem 5 will support at least 3 different operating systems and user interfaces at launch. PureOS, a version of PureOS with KDE Plasma Mobile Environment, and Ubuntu Touch. PureOS is the company's own Linux distribution, which the team is adapting to work on touchscreen devices with phone-sized screens. KDE Plasma Mobile is a mobile project from the team behind the KDE desktop environment for GNU Linux. Ubuntu Touch is the version of Ubuntu Linux that Canonical developed for phones and tablets and then scrapped when the company decided to shift direction. But Ubuntu Touch is an open source project, so when Canonical stopped developing it, another team of developers calling themselves UBports decided to pick up the torch, continuing to work on the operating system. UBports and Purism are working together to ensure that Ubuntu Touch is fully supported on the phone and that future software updates remain compatible. Out of the box, the Librem 5 will ship with PureOS, featuring a GNOME-based desktop environment. Users will have the choice of installing KDE Plasma Mobile or Ubuntu Touch if they prefer to use one of those alternatives. I like it.
This is awesome.
When can
exactly.
I get one?
Exactly.
When?
Well, I don't know if it was Kickstarter or was it a fundraising campaign anyways, but the plan is January of 2019. That's the target goal, and they far surpassed the amount that they were trying to raise. I think it was like $1 million, and they went to like 1.5 or something like that. So yeah. Probably January if things go well, but we have seen like Ubuntu phone that kind of failed in the past and some other Linux phones. But what is cool about this, I think anyways, is that the whole idea behind a Linux smartphone, there's a few different things here that are really exciting. First of all, it's a full OS. So you get the security and the privacy of an OS And under the hood, it's something that you can control. So you are now in control of your phone rather than whoever's manufacturing the software, writing the software that runs it. So, but also, it's dockable. So you can plug this into a 22-inch screen and sit down like it's a computer, and boom, you've got a desktop operating system up on your screen, and it's powered by your phone.
See, that's exciting. I like
that there's the kill switches and the privacy and security stuff, for the fact that I feel like that will really draw the masses over to this.
The only problem with that, though, is not the masses are not used to Linux.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Jeff,
yes.
Everything that you own is run by Linux.
Isn't it PlayStation really is. Run by Linux? No,
yes, it is.
I understand that, but what I mean by that is the normal consumer for a phone mm-hmm. is used to Apple telling them what to do or Android telling them what to do for the most part. So to have something that is customizable like a Linux phone, I think will be a huge mind shift for a lot of people. They'll be able to pick it up and use it, but to fully use it to its potential, I don't think a lot of people will have the know-how, and that's going to take a little bit of time.
I have faith. We'll do a couple of shows about it when I get mine, and everyone can watch, and they'll be right on board.
I think people will do okay. I really do. I think people will grasp it fairly well. I mean, we adapted force to smartphones from dumb phones, and now it's just...
Exactly.
What's going to confuse us is more features? Well, they can create an interface, and they have created interfaces that are like iOS or Android. It's just under the hood, there's more to it and a lot more functionality.
All right. Well, you two have more faith in humanity than I do.
I have a lot of faith in it.
I absolutely have faith in it, especially the fact that now that you have a Linux phone, that now there's just an endless amount of different, operating systems and distros and such that can, right now there's just the ones that are offered. But I know the Linux community. They're just going to have so many.
I just want to install LibreOffice on my phone. That will be the day when I can just sit, plug it in, and start typing on my phone like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, beautiful. Real quick before we go to the next story. Is it going to be able to interface with app stores as far as apps go? Or are you going to have to use...
Yes? Oh, yeah. The whole ecosystem of Linux is repository-based. So why not start being able to install apps, if you will, through that architecture?
Okay.
It's Ubuntu. It's Debian-based, so absolutely, it's going to be there.
Okay.
Yes, it has already happened. We talked about the Tegra exploit last week, which is now in the wild, and already a user has Ubuntu running on the Nintendo Switch. Not every hardware hacker goes about things privately, and one such group has disclosed the Nintendo Switch exploit that allows anyone with the portable gaming device to load Linux on the Switch without much fuss. The exploit in question, this time dubbed ShowElf 2, was revealed by Failover Flow. In a blog post, they explained that a bug in the boot ROM of the NVIDIA Tegra X1 processor can be used to take control over the entire boot process. This, they add, is effectively like a US-based rescue mode intended for initial flashing of Tegra devices and recovery of bricked devices. Normally, RCM mode only allows signed images to be loaded, but thanks to the bug, that is not the case. As neither Nintendo or NVIDIA can patch the hole, it means every single Nintendo Switch sold to date can be made to run Linux. Failover Flow released a fully open-source Linux boot stack for the Switch based on Arch Linux. Almost immediately, other Linux enthusiasts raced to get their favorite distros, desktops, and tools running on the Switch as well. And a user calling themselves CMSJ has managed to squeeze the latest Ubuntu 18.04 release onto a Nintendo Switch. The volume rocker already works, as does the ambient light sensor, though they note it's very slow at this point. They plan to tweak things and get it to a very usable state. Ubuntu aside, it is still very early days for Linux on the Switch. Not all hardware functions properly. Not every Linux app is available on ARM processors, and performance will vary from distro to distro. The code to install Linux on your Nintendo Switch is already available on GitHub, though you'd have to be either very brave or possess a rather disposable income to want to take it on this early.
So true. Yeah. So true.
This is cool.
This is really cool. I mean, this story is, I feel like it's only 7 days old and already this has happened. It's exploded.
Yeah.
So My question is, so if I were to do this, could I go back, or is the Nintendo like, is it lost forever? Is that Could I perhaps switch back and forth? Not necessarily dual boot, right? But like boot one and then get rid of
like
it and then boot it
flash, like almost like reflashing the original ROM back onto the Switch. And I don't know. I guess you could back up the original, or if there is a backup of it.
Right.
I don't think you could ever undo it, because you're basically rooting it, right?
Yeah,
right.
Well, so, exactly, yeah. So my guess would be that there's got to be a way to do it. You're right. You would have to have a backup of the entire Switch system in order to make that happen. And
well,
yeah,
it's not impossible. And then what would you do, I guess, with Linux on a Switch? Is it just like it opens up your games,
or is there more? Well, and I wonder if it kind of brings us back to the phone idea of being able to do more with your devices and have more control over it. But I really think about indie game manufacturers, people who want to create games but don't have the big studio and can't get into the Switch. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to have Nintendo licensing if you want to be on a Nintendo Switch. You've got to license that game and have the, you know, manufactured with the official Nintendo logo and everything.
Well, what I'm cost a fortune is, once you can get it rooted, you get the software in there, why couldn't you turn it into like a portable RetroPie?
In theory.
Exactly. Just bring it anywhere with you. When you get home, plug it in, bam, it's on your big screen.
Yeah.
That may be, well, that to me sounds like something that you would run like a game. Like, if it was rooted, then you could run the RetroPie, as an example, style interface, emulation station or something like that. It wouldn't be, but
yeah,
it would be like the equivalent of that, where you could have thousands of games built into the Switch, and then you pull out that card and pop in another, and you're back to playing the normal stuff.
Well, exactly. I mean, you have all those classic handhelds from the, the Game Boy to, what was the Genesis?
Lynx.
like the Sega Genesis one, but the what was it called?
Somebody in the chat room or on YouTube,
I forget what it was called, but you know, get all those games on it and just have that portability. That'd be awesome.
I love it. Linux for the win.
Yeah. Linux is winning.
Yay.
That's what's happening here.
A company which specializes in delivery robots plans to expand its operations from 2 campuses to 20 by 2019 with a fleet of 1,000. Starship Technologies is partnering with the co-op in Milton Keynes to deliver groceries there. It follows trials with Just Eat to deliver takeout in London, England. One expert said he thinks that it will be a long time before they become a regular sight on normal streets. The campuses are more of a proving ground for the robots. The machines have a top speed of 10 miles an hour, which is 16.1 kilometers an hour, and in busy streets are accompanied by a human minder. The firm claims none have been stolen or vandalized, with 100,000 miles of delivery journeys completed so far. Starship said that the robots will be put to work in 20 universities or work campuses across the UK, US, and Germany. They can travel up to 3 miles and are fitted with 9 cameras, radar and GPS, and ultrasonic sensors for detecting obstacles. Upon arrival, the recipient of the parcel receives a text message containing a link to unlock the robot. The manufacturer says their robots can deliver around 200 of the most common grocery items. This is amazing.
Why?
This is amazing because it solves two problems. One, security of the problem with people getting Amazon packages that get stolen off of porches.
So but now you get in car trunks.
Only if you have a domestic car. So now you're getting a text from the robot for the unlock key, right? So already it's one extra level of security. And secondly, it will make deliveries faster because, okay, they can travel up to 3 miles. So let's say somebody driving a truck drops off a bunch of these robots that are making deliveries. Bam, all the deliveries go out at once. The robots come back. They get reloaded to the next location. Bam, they go out again. Saving gas, even.
Do you remember your idea about Amazon dropping your stuff in a box. Mm-hmm. That's a locked box. So yes. This takes it to the next level, and it's like on wheels. It's robotic. It's autonomous.
Right.
And it's delivering, and then it just sits on your porch. Now I can see that working.
See, I love it. Now, the one thing that I would say is if it needs a human minder, you might as well except
these are the
that
early
it would
days,
be
though,
right
to be
it
fair.
Is early days that's yeah. that is true depending on how big the box size is, it could be really helpful for people who don't have any way to get, you know, their prescriptions
right.
to their house, right? Or
sure
yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it's just because of my age, but I'm thinking colleges are gonna love this.
Colleges
like,
will
get a few,
this.
You know, college or university, get a bunch of these on campus, doing all the grocery runs, and it's like, I can just hang out in my dorm, and the robot's going to deliver everything to me. I
exactly.
can totally see that being used to the fullest potential.
Right. Well, in college campuses, you don't have, like, you rarely have the ability to cook, and if you can cook, it's like the microwave or a hot plate. So,
craft this, dinner and pizza.
They're smart to start testing this in campuses because they will get lots of use.
Yes.
I really like the idea, though, of like elderly individuals who can't necessarily go out and do a shop, right? So mm-hmm. just bring it to me, and that's fantastic.
And the security side. I mean, I feel like yeah. if I were Amazon, I would be putting a whole lot of money into this because sure. it really solves that problem. And if I was mm-hmm. the Postal Service, even, I would do the same because the Postal Service really makes money on the fact that they can deliver every single day, no matter what.
Yeah, but they're unionized. That's a whole another story.
They can't be unionized everywhere. All right. A driver who moved into the passenger seat after putting his electric car into autopilot while at 40 miles an hour on a highway has been banned from driving. The man, Bhavish Patel from Nottingham, England, pleaded guilty to dangerous driving at St. Albans Crown Court. A witness in another car filmed him sitting in the passenger seat of his Tesla S60 on the M1 between junctions 8 and 9 near Hemel Hempstead. Patel said that he was the unlucky one who got caught, the court was told. The footage was posted on social media before it was reported to police. The court heard Patel had told officers what he had done was silly, but that his car was capable of something amazing when he was interviewed at the Stevenage police station. He added that he was the unlucky one who got caught. A statement provided by a Tesla engineer said the autopilot was intended to provide assistance to a fully attentive driver. Patel was disqualified for 18 months and must do 100 hours of unpaid work and was also fined to cover the costs of the courts.
Why is this still an issue? Why do people continue to let their car fully drive for them? That was never what it was intended for.
Right.
Yet, fair enough. Thank you.
In the defense of this particular driver, except the fact that he went to the passenger seat, right? That part was silly, buddy. But if he stayed in the driver's seat, if you have a fully autopilot car, you cannot expect the driver to then also be attentive. How many of us are completely overworked?
Okay, but
so
if that's
now your
you
car
shouldn't
is
have the car.
Your car is doing everything for you. Now you have nothing you need to be paying attention to. You're going to zone out.
But you still need to be able to access the pedal, Sasha, because the car, these Teslas are designed to alert you in the event of a pending issue. So if traffic is getting too heavy and it doesn't feel confident in itself,
right.
It will wake you and it will tell you, okay, it's time to take over, buddy. But if you're in the other seat and someone pulls out in front of you and the car says, warning, 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 take the wheel. And you're in the other seat.
Right. That's actually not the part I take issue with because okay. I honestly think you should be in the driver's seat, but you cannot expect the driver to remain attentive when you've taken away the only task they have to do while sitting there.
I totally
you're
going
to have a bunch of napping drivers with autopilot and they're just going to be hoping that the chair vibrates or something to wake them up one time.
I completely 100% disagree with you.
Right.
I think, I mean, you cannot expect your car is going to fully do the drive for you and respond the way that a human would respond. It has sensors.
Right.
It will do the best it can, but you need to be aware of the drive.
It will respond better than a human responds.
So then why are people getting killed?
how many people got killed by autonomous vehicles versus how many people got killed by a human driver vehicle?
Okay, but humans have been driving a lot more than autonomous vehicles. But the problem is when people abuse the technology.
Humans text and drive, Jeff. A car doesn't text and drive.
You're right. I understand that. But there's no way somebody should be getting behind a car with autopilot functions and not at all paying attention. You want to have your hands off the wheel? Fine. You want to be in a relaxed state? Fine. You want to be belting out to Liberace while the car is driving for you? Fine. But you're still having to pay attention. If you don't, bad things will happen.
But people who are supposed to be paying attention in non-autonomous cars are already not paying attention. These cars are going to save lives. The problem is he wasn't in the driver's seat, but the car itself is smarter than the human driving it. No wonder he checked out and went into the passenger seat. Really, the car is probably smarter than he is.
Okay, but what about dude who was watching a movie while driving?
While driving, was the car driving? Or
the car was driving. He's right. Watching a movie, not paying attention. He got killed.
I don't know this story.
Yeah, we covered it a year ago. It's because he was watching a movie. I want to say it was Harry Potter, I believe. And he rear-ended a vehicle. His car did not respond in time.
His car rear-ended a vehicle.
Had he have been there to take over the controls in an instant, he may have lived.
Right, but that same guy not watching a movie, driving a car, could have looked down at his phone while texting and driving and rear-ended somebody and died.
The point is they still weren't paying attention.
Right, but the car is going to be programmed to pay better attention than a person actually naturally will. We are tired and distracted at best. So you're going to fall asleep or you're going to daydream or you're going... Like, I really love autonomous cars and I really think that autonomous cars will drive better than humans do.
It's been wonderful knowing you, Sasha. When you get your autonomous car and you don't pay attention and you get in an accident, it's been a pleasure working with you.
I will not get into an accident.
Your car will.
I would not.
I love the technology. The technology of autonomous cars is phenomenal, but it's to be used properly. Like with any technology, humans have the ability to abuse it and not use it as prescribed, and that is exactly what happened in this case and in all the other cases where something happened. You need to be aware of what you're doing and use the technology properly.
I agree, but I do trust the technology more than I trust...
You just said you agree.
I know, but I trust the technology more than I trust the natural responses of humans who are driving. Anyway... Big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us this week. Thanks for watching the Category5.tv newsroom. Don't forget to like and subscribe for all your tech news with a slight Linux bias. And for more free content, be sure to check out our website. From the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Rickman. And I'm right.
I think we should get the Obot to do the news. That
you think
way,
so?
There's none of this ridiculous arguments.
So I think what he's saying is we need to replace Jeff with the Obot.
Oh, really? you had to go there.
Hey, I'm Robbie. He's Jeff. The argumentative one is Jeff.
I'm Sasha.
How do I get labeled with that?
How? I wonder how.